We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I know it verbatim. I don't remember Tony Montana telling his buddy Manolo that first you get, then you get the wine cellar. That's awesome. A wine cellar from Cuba. Oh, that's great.
I don't even want to do the 5 o'clock hour. We're not going to top that.
That's, that's the great thing about getting the second spin through. And right now with the slick roads, commutes are slow. They need a little fun in their lives, and that provides it. That's 80 seconds of radio bliss.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Man, you ain't kidding. You know I'm not a big weather guy, but like this type of thing, weather is news. Stay safe out there. There's ice everywhere.
Yes, there is.
Everywhere.
The ice yesterday, and I mentioned this to you guys in an email today. I don't know what it was about. I don't know if I was specific about it, but save your stuff. There was one of the best sound bites in Score history is gone forever unless some guy has it in a badly decomposing cassette in his mom's basement. Jiggets and North hosting the Ditka Show. It's a 7-second soundbite, and to me, it's a Mount Rushmore Score moment for soundbites. And either Mike or Dan asked Ditka a question. Ditka's with them, and they're at a restaurant, and the in queue is very clean. You know where the host is going. Then he stops. What we don't know in our cars is he stops because a woman is in the process, a server is in the process of losing a tray full of dishes and glasses. She's taken a dive right in front of the stage, and you hear Ditka go, up, before she falls. He's doing the play-by-play of her slipping. I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
I mean, it's okay. She's fine now. It was a long time ago.
Loud crash. Way louder than Les's train crash that we did the other day. Much louder than that. And then North says, careful, it's slippery over there. And Jenkins is out cue right on top of it is, oh, man. I mean, it was the package. It was I don't have it. There's no record of it. We as a station didn't save that stuff. Save your gold, man, or save if you happen to get gold somewhere else, save it.
Okay. Did you save anything?
Yeah, they're on badly decomposing cassettes. You know,
well,
we tried.
Be salvaged.
I don't know. We tried to do it a few years ago when Terry and I reconnected, almost 10 years ago or so. And it's a tough listen. We grinded our way through it because it's one of the funnier things we ever did, and it's where the war began with Murphy less than a year into the station's existence.
Ooh, yeah, soaping up and singing. I can imagine you guys, Nate Oliver, soaping up in the shower, and somebody says, hey, we got to get this thing down on vinyl, huh? Give it to me, Nate.
It's just one after the other, and I'm firing the sound bites at Terry during the show because I'm back in the metal shop cutting it all up earlier in the day. Wait till you hear this one now. And it's just vintage Murph.
I can picture you all in the shower soaping up and singing, and then someone said, "Hey, we got to get this thing down on vinyl, huh?"
I'm glad that sounds as good as it does.
That sounds good.
The interview in its entirety, the bit in its entirety, ran about 13 minutes, and we tried to, we salvaged. Tandy, did you produce that show? I don't recall. That was 09.
I did not, but I did bring it back for Terry's final show.
Okay.
A portion of it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. But yeah, Maddie cleaned it up. I think it was Maddie, the best of his abilities, but it was tough for 7-8 minutes because it's water. You know, it's.
Sure.
And I sound like I've had helium.
I don't know.
I don't know if my voice changed at 35 or what, but it doesn't sound like me. It sounds like me and somebody is squeezing my newts.
Tanny saves every show that he produces.
That's a great idea. And, as media evolve, make sure you keep transferring.
Keep transferring.
Oh, I do. I'm a bit anal with the hard drives. So I got a few at home, a couple here. I've had situations where I've lost entire hard drives. Like before the B&B 15-year anniversary show, I'd put a lot of work in that. My hard drive crashed, and I had no backup. So you learn your lesson once and never again. Yeah.
That's brutal. It's all right. Sonny Weaver, buy you a new laptop.
I remember when I fully... You know, everyone knows Tanny's reputation with it, but the first time that I truly felt like on this show, or like since I've been at the Score, that I was like, oh my God, that's just something that no one else would do, was the NFL draft show when you were out. I think it was The Voice for you still at that point, and Shep was in, and he did the rejoins of old Bears draft picks, but they weren't just, you know, famous ones or infamous ones in the first round. It was funny names of guys from the sixth round, but it wasn't the podium audio that he somehow found. It was the audio from the sports updates on the Score saying the names of those guys. And I was like, how the hell do you have that? He's like, every hour of every show. So I went back and I looked at the time and then I saved the updates and I'm like, that is something that... That's like the Daily Show cutting up clips, you know what I mean, and having an archive that goes way back on all the news channels. Like, he is the John Oliver, John Stewart equivalent of radio audio engineers. It's incredible.
Here's OB asking Chris Williams how his back's feeling. Oh, it's feeling great.
It's remarkable how he has that stuff. It's a true luxury.
That's great. The two guys who have done talk radio locally and nationally, better than anybody, for my money, are Howard Stern and Steve Dahl, and they both kept things from 30 years ago, and they sound fantastic because they knew how to keep them, and they knew on what medium to put them. Oddly enough, Betamax tape will last forever.
It's crazy.
I know.
Some of the most original technology. Right?
Yes, right. It's durable. It's more compact than VHS. Now it's like, you know, in old the first high def TVs compared to digital, but
sure,
it's still much better.
Updating your poll question from earlier, Mac, is it delusional to think the Blackhawks can stay off the canvas and cop the 8 seed? Hashtag 91 North Stars. Nothing's changed.
45% still. Did anybody vote since we updated at 2 o'clock, or they just turned in the page on hockey on Twitter?
There's not many, you know.
What'd I get, 1,500 voters? Less than that?
About half that. But you put it on
Facebook.
That's
a statement right there. I'm so indifferent, I will not stroke a key.
Yeah, 45% agree with me and say, no shot.
God, I've asked what's your favorite color, and I got 2,000 responses, you know?
Yeah, well.
That's
just
have
15 hours left. Give yourself some credit.
And I have not retweeted it yet. So,
there's enough of a sample there. I think that's over 850 votes.
Okay,
that'd be enough for a poll.
Same 850 people who remember the 91 North Stars coming out of nowhere from the back of the pack.
Nah, I voted.
God, yeah, I know you voted. It's delusional. David Haw votes delusional. Shep, how did you weigh in on that?
Delusional.
Okay.
Just think that the defense is too bad and the goaltending is not trustworthy.
Yeah, defense.
Usually a bad combo if you're trying to make up a bunch of points.
It is. You know, Gusty shows progress and then he plays scared from time. You know what he is? He's weak in the knees. We can't have a weak-kneed blue liner in this town.
That's right. Can't have it. Can't do it.
Can't do it.
A little weak in these. We had some fun today, too. We differ on our reads on Jim Boylan's interview on some things. I certainly understand Parkins and any other Bulls fan being frustrated by it. He didn't tell the truth on a few things. He says there's no conflict with his players. Hasn't been any. I do believe him when he says, I haven't been confrontational. Unless I don't know things, I didn't read the ridiculous practices as confrontational. They were silly. They were high school or college.
Yeah, and
but
listen,
not confrontational.
Well, it depends on your definition of it, right? He's called guys out in the media. Okay, fine. He scheduled the practices and did them tough. Okay, fine. He did the 5-man substitution, not once, but twice. Like, enough things come up where it feels like you're bust-tossing your players publicly or embarrassing your players publicly. Some could take that as being confrontational, but that word choice wasn't even my issue. My issue was this idea that he's like, I've had no issues with players since I've been here. Yeah, you did. They contacted the players' union to see what type of methods they had to file grievances against you. They didn't trust you that you weren't going to run them into the ground when you scheduled a practice off the back-to-backs. And you lied then when you said, we were just going to do a film session. No, you weren't. Because after that game on the back-to-back, the Boston game, you said, well, I didn't want to lose the game twice by putting the starters back into the game because I want to be able to have a practice the next day.
Right.
So stop with this nonsense that there hasn't any sort of confrontation or pushback from your players. A week ago, Zach LaVine said, why are we losing by more now than we were earlier in the season when we got more guys healthy now than we did then?
More offensive than his words, his mantra, you can win in the NBA with low post ISOs. I loved Karl Malone. That was 20 years ago. But, you know, when the Bulls and Jazz played and we're at the Salt Palace or whatever the name of that place is, it was great. I love Karl. It's over. That era died.
I started a notepad for the Pax interview in my phone when we were listening to that at 3. And we're going to have Pax on the show, he says, the week of the NBA trade deadline, which is February 7th. Maybe he'll be asked it before then. But, yeah, you got to reconcile that with, I understand that you don't have the personnel to run the Warriors offense. I get it. But cui bono, who benefits by backing down Robin Lopez 14 feet away from the basket? Like saying he goes, well, if that's old school, then so be it. No, it is old school. And you were in with the Spurs with Popovich. They had Tim Duncan. You were with Rudy Tomjanovic and the Rockets. They had Hakeem Olajuwon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different NBA, and those guys aren't walking through that door. And the guys that do that in this NBA, by the way, can do other things, right? Like Joel Embiid. Yeah, you'll throw it down to Embiid in the post because he's a magician down there. But he'll also hit a 24-footer. You know what I mean? Carl Anthony Towns.
There's not that those players are not on this Bulls roster.
No one. The Sixers don't run their offense through Joel Embiid in the post. That's not what they do. They got Ben Simmons, who's this crazy unicorn who's got the ball in his hands all the time. So I am just in fundamental disagreement with his approach.
I understand
to the state of the Bulls. Well, I think he's talking about something that doesn't exist.
It's I know it's hard because he's on the station today, and it was a 14-minute interview that was frustrating at times. But maybe it's not a bad idea to look at Boylan and see if actions change and not be so hooked up on his words. I get it. I understand the frustration. My feeling is the guy is going to be out of here in 3 months anyway. When the season ends, he'll be cleaning out his office. I'm holding out hope.
And as am I,
for
by
your
the way.
Sanity.
Yeah,
and the sanity of any Bulls fan listening to us right now.
Yeah, and listen, Mac, I'm the guy who tells you that I tune in at the start of most Bulls games still, and it's an endurance contest to see how long I can last. Like tonight, BlueChew.com. But tonight, you know, they play the Hawks. Trae Young. I got nothing going on. Steph's going out to dinner. I'll probably watch that game at the beginning of it. Let's see. Let's see what it looks like.
I'm envious.
And I love the Bulls. So I get mad at the actions and what I see also, but I don't but this is the first time he's been on the station since he was given the head coaching title.
He was painted to me by those who heard it. I'm not saying you, Parkins, but he just sounded like a boob. You know, you want to hear a boob? Go listen to Terry Bevington's introductory news conference. That's a boob.
It's not
he's misguided, but he's not a boob. We've had boobs. Let's not bring it to the name call. I'm not saying you.
I haven't called him a name once. I think that he is describing a reality that doesn't exist. But when he talks about no confrontations, and there have been confrontations, that's just a falsehood. It's non-existent. The Bulls have been a laughingstock since the turnover. Now, it's quieted. You know, the new things happen in the league. And maybe they get lucky in the offseason and they get Zion Williamson, just like they got lucky to get Derrick Rose. But getting lucky isn't a plan. And it's not. Like it's
worked
before. And it's worked for a lot of people before. And by the way,
plan on getting the right ping pong ball.
It's just
and then let's not choose Michael Beasley.
That cannot be a plan. You know?
How did they miss Michael Beasley?
Well, if Derrick Rose wasn't from Chicago, maybe they would have taken Beasley. I don't know. But I am in conflict personally, and I know some Bulls fans really disagree with me on this. But I am in conflict personally with, if you concede the latest rebuild started the day they traded Jimmy Butler, and you also concede that Garpacks are Teflon and going to be here to see this rebuild through to whether it succeeds or fails, I actually think that they've got the biggest decisions of this most current rebuild.
Right.
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 Because I don't think Jabari Parker's been an embarrassment. It cost them some money. But like Mike Glennon and Ryan Pace, it doesn't cripple you long term. It's just 1 year of embarrassment when you need to spend some money. They got three assets for Jimmy Butler. Minnesota has no assets to show for that original trade. Jimmy Butler's not on the Timberwolves anymore.
Right.
You know, I think they got it right matching Zach LaVine. I think they got it right with Lowry Markkanen. I think they got it right probably with Wendell Carter.
That's the thing that really is a gut punch, not being able to see him continue to develop. And it was frustrating waiting for the coach to start giving him some minutes. What are you saving him for crying out loud?
Right. And now, and that's the other thing that really sucks as a Bulls fan, is that at the end of this year, when Pax does his season-ending press conference year in review, unless Lowry Markkanen, who's been good the last three games, but unless Lowry Markkanen finishes the season on some sort of 30-game tear,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's going to be, which I think is in play, by the way, it's going to be really hard to say that any amount of progress was made in any direction for the Bulls, because at the end of it, we still will not have seen Carter, LaVine, and Markkanen play any meaningful minutes together.
I know.
Because of Lowry's elbow injury, Dunn's knee injury, and now Wendell's thumb injury. So, and that's bad luck. But so they're going to go through 82 games unless Lowry finishes this year really strong with no real progress being made anywhere. And you can't have that when you're rebuilding.
That's a really bright forecast you're painting there.
I'm just being real. I'm just telling you the truth. The biggest day for the Bulls in 2019 is this year's NBA draft lottery, period. That is the biggest day for the franchise. Because
I don't think there's any debate about that.
But so it takes
a... Well, that or the day they make a decision on the head coach for next year.
Yeah, but Zion's bigger. Because you're not going to get a marquee coach if you don't have marquee talent.
That's true, but if you don't whack this guy, the reputation, the deterioration is just going to continue.
Agreed. Agreed. I'm not saying that the Boylan decision isn't a huge one. I just think Zion could be franchise-altering in the way that LeBron, Durant, Rose, Duncan... Like some years, there's no franchise-altering guy at the top, and you got to just take the guy you think is best, and it's Andrew Bogut, or it's Andrew Wiggins, or it's whomever, and you just tough year to have the number one pick. Zion could be franchise-altering, and if you get him, all of a sudden you're relevant, and maybe guys want to play with him,
mm-hmm.
and he's a superstar. So that's the biggest day for the franchise. We'll get to your... I don't even know how to describe them.
Well, I've got a speaking engagement coming up in a few weeks that I'd like to promote. I try not to be too self-serving with that, but there are some guys out there who may want to know, and I want to go trucking with our guys out there. Let's go trucking.
Let's do it, and we'll talk to Lawrence in 20 minutes on the score. All right, bottom of the hour on the score, brought to you by the Wolves. The Chicago Wolves own their best start since the last championship and boast the most all-stars of any AHL team. For the 25th anniversary, enjoy free parking courtesy of Kia. High-scoring, winning hockey, and free parking. Chicago Wolves. Last team standing. We got a hell of a show lined up tomorrow, man.
Oh my God, yeah. Tomorrow is something really, really special. Let's let everybody know who's going to be here. Sing with us at 1:30 tomorrow, right after transition.
In studio, Bears principal owner George McCaskey.
Da 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 da.
George McCaskey in studio at 1:30. Then at 2 o'clock, your friend.
Yeah, my guy William Peterson has come out of the forest and he's emerged. He called during transition day. He's going to come on at 2 tomorrow to talk about a couple of things. The television phenomenon that's going on in our country, I think he can address pretty well with the CSI experience. It was his baby. I was listening to him when he's on the ground floor of that project, and he's not a fan of True Detective season 3. So we'll discuss that with him and talk about the television industry.
Sounds good. And then at 3 o'clock, no one better at telling stories than Brent Musburger. He will be on the show for his weekly visit. Dave Wannstedt at 4 for his weekly visit. But in between the two of them, another friend of yours.
Dan Patrick will join us at 3:40, and we'll talk about some things you might not know about Dan that he was willing to let us in on when last time we visited, which was in July when you were in Europe for 48 hours.
That's correct. So George McCaskey, William Peterson. It was unintentional.
Yeah.
It was not by design. Going back this summer, though, it's going to happen. Hopefully in May. We're thinking about going back across the pond. But yeah, George McCaskey, William Peterson, and Dan Patrick, in addition to Brent Musburger.
May's a fine time for outdoor detail, Danny Parkins.
Looking forward
to it. Outdoor detail, yeah.
Yeah.
Bet you they line up to hear this one.
It'll be good.
Joey Pants, right?
That is correct.
That's great.
So what's your speaking engagement?
I have been invited to be the warm-up act. It's happening on February 12th. You can search Chicago Muskie Club. I don't know. I'm sorry. I do not have their vitals in front of me. Just search Chicagoland Muskie Club. They have a monthly speaker. These meetings take place in Glenview. And I'm the warm-up act for the guy people want to hear talk about techniques, guy who has just bought Jim Sarek's very valuable Muskie Hunter magazine. Jim's going to continue to do the television program. He's going to be the keynote speaker in March. We're going to be in spring training. I would have loved to have done it in March, because that's like, in the fishing industry, that's like being the warm-up act for, oh, I don't know, at least, at the very minimum, Bad Company.
Really?
Yeah, at the minimum, Bad Company. So that's nice. That's a nice gig for me.
ChicagolandMuskieHunters.org.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, my guy Jim there said, what I'm going to do is just talk to the fellows about, because muskie hunters are different from other fishermen in many ways. We have to have, part of a fraternity, more constitution than other fishermen, because many hours go by before you even see a fish. And I've got a few things I do to pass the time and some tips on making that experience a little bit more enjoyable that might involve some musky parody songs and just to try to lighten the load a little bit, lighten the mood a little bit before we get into some nuts and bolts of the speed retrievals of bucktails versus, running a bulldog or something like that.
Naturally, of course. Yes, Tanny yes. always says you got to retrieve a buckdog.
You know, bucktails, woo! Normally the mood is very heavy at these things, so I'm glad someone's going to be there to lighten the mood.
I don't know the first thing of musky fishing, hunting, whichever you call it.
Yeah,
I'd assume fishing.
But it's
Mitch
right.
says angling.
Angling, yeah. Mitch is a big angler. But it's right down the street from me. I think I have to go.
You gotta go.
Really?
I think I've got. I mean, this is probably a 7-minute ride for me.
Got to be a correspondent for the show.
It'd be a great opportunity to get pick a players from all these musky men.
You guys are haters. You guys are haters. That game
Ish
died.
Monroe was just too busy. Sorry.
You know Ish?
Hell yeah, I know Ish.
Ish is one of my favorite bass fishermen on the tour.
Damn Guess right he is. At.
You know what? You know what's cool? You know what means things have improved? When you got a brother who's one of the best fishers, the best structure fisherman on that show is Ish.
And he'll share his secret hunting spots with you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's another thing. I wanted to really make it clear to
the producing job
to the Muskie Club that I didn't want to step on toes. There's something that nobody would guess about the fishing business, the television fishermen, all of the bigs of all times, with your Babe Winkelmans and all, you guys know who they are. Jimmy Houston, Bill Dance. Local guides.
No all the greats.
I'm talking totally. To the fishermen. I'm talking
He's
to the
He's our first
of,
ballot, 100% yes. of the vote guys.
You don't even need to mention them.
Yeah.
We know.
Those who are still listening know who they are. So
straight to the top.
There is an insane and way higher than our business presence of jealousy and insecurity and territoriality that I never would have guessed. They are so protective, and I wanted to make it really clear that I am not there to step on anybody's toes. Please make sure the guys who are the keynote speakers know that I know I am the warm-up act.
Well, you don't want to think Big Bad Radio guy Dan McNeil coming in to steal the show.
Right. I do not want to do that.
I don't think you're in
danger. I'm in the middle of this speech.
Nichols! They're going to line up for that one, too.
Do you think you're in danger of overshadowing a great Ishman or Isherman, whatever. Who was that?
Ishman Rowe.
Oh, okay. Ishman Rowe, of course. Yeah. You're not in danger of overshadowing a great Ish.
Did you Google that, or do you actually watch Ishman Rowe?
I've seen Ishman Rowe's work before.
I love the way he works structure fast through docs. He can
get it
done. I
once had Ishman Rowe booked for Dan Bernstein, and I forget what the breaking news was, and we had to cancel Ish, and it was heartbreaking. I was excited because I was going to get Ish on. Still got a cell phone if you wanted me to chase him down.
I outgrew bass fishing. I chase toothy critters now.
Mm.
And when I do, I tow my boat with a Ford F-150.
This is a Mac Hall of Fame segment.
Go put your blue shirt on that's hanging in the back.
From the Ford robe.
I texted my sales manager and my GM at Webb yesterday, and I asked if they saw the commercials on Championship Sunday. GMC has a new feature in the 19 Sierra, which is the class that is tantamount to my F-150. Same size vehicle, same size body. I don't know how they handle, because I'm a Ford loyalist. If it doesn't have a blue oval on it, chances are I'm not buying it. They have a tailgate now that has most of the manufacturers have had the remote start tailgate release. You don't have to be, so tailgate comes down with a punch of a button. The GMC Sierra, and I apologize, Ford people, but it's a good product and we have to respond. You hit a button and the fold down provides you with a step up ladder. It folds over twice. It is a game changer. My jaw dropped when I saw the ad. At the beginning of the ad, there's all these guys, the White Sox, the starting pitchers, Chase going to take a shower, hey. They're Steams, hey, goodbye. They're playing that song, and people are taking the tailgates of their old trucks, and you see Ford logos, and you see Dodge logos. They're taking them to a graveyard. And then they show you don't know where it's going.
Sure.
I don't know whose ad this is at the beginning. And then they show you the new Sierra from GMC, and it has, oh, my God, that feature. Oh, God, that is truck porn. I've not seen anything that exciting in truck development in some time. And I said to my guys, I put it in quotes, we need to respond to this. What are they saying in Detroit?
And that, what's the response? Is there going to be a response in kind?
He says, well, it's still a GMC,
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
let me know when it has a blue oval on it.
Follow-up question. So that's the greatest advent or progression in trucks technology since what? Like, I feel like the pickup truck is a fairly consistent thing. Like, how different is a truck from now until back in the day?
You've been in my truck. There's no technology it doesn't have. It has everything but Shep's flight tracker.
Yeah, I sometimes think it's going to take off.
Yeah, it's heated seats, heated magazines for your coffee holder.
But that's in any car.
Like,
I guess I meant from the truck functionality. Oh, you see what I'm saying?
Shifting on the fly, four-wheel drive's been big. They're more into electronics than they used to be. You get more in a base package than you used to. The XLT provides you with a lot. I prefer the Lariat, all the bells and whistles, daddy.
But you're not wavering, of course. I mean, a man with a wine cellar would need the Lariat. But you're not wavering from your Ford commitment because of this stepladder, right? You're still Ford.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to find me in a GMC truck. No.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I have many months left on this lease, which seems upside down on miles in about 2 months already. And I have more than a year and a half to go. I didn't think I was going to be making long commutes,
Yeah.
The drive to Webb Ford from my house was 3 miles. So I did a 15,000 mile a year lease. I punched that out in a quarter. I'm done with 15,000 miles sometimes in 3 months. Usually six, but sometimes three. If I'm lucky, in three.
That is a lot of driving. Two times I leased a car, I did it for the minimum. 10,000 miles or whatever it was. Yeah. Just get in and out.
Oh, a texter points out the 10-speed automatic trans in the Ford. I am not a fan. The vehicle I wanted specifically at the time has the 10-speed. I prefer the 6, especially when the vehicle's cold. It's a little jerky in the lower gears when it's yeah. Thank you for pointing that out. But if you like that, that's another option.
Tanny always says that. We didn't have enough time with Lawrence yesterday. We'll bring Lawrence in.
That's why we're bringing Lawrence in.
Is that all? Do you have more? All right. You have more on the fishing?
No, I'm good. I'm going to go smoke one cigarette.
That it seemed like porn.
I'll be back in a second.
Oh, okay. It's McNeil and Parker's on the score.
I'm making a point, son.
Lot of home.
I hear the people talk.
Lawrence Holmes with us, McNeil and Parkins on the score. One more time, tomorrow's guest list, because it's a different one. We have George McCaskey in studio at 1:30.
Are you guys doing the show from the South Lots? Or?
No, but he is going to ride his scooter here.
Okay.
So, you know, that was the compromise to get him to come in studio. We got premium scooter parking available. William Peterson from CSI at 2, Brent Musburger at 3, Dan Patrick at 3:40, and Dave Wanstead at 4 o'clock.
Damn.
Yeah, you know.
That'll work.
Today we had Teddy Greenstein. You know, keep him guessing.
Teddy's great.
Oh, I love Teddy. It was good. Disagreed with every word he said about the Hall of Fame, but that's okay.
I've decided that I now just don't care. I'm Jay Cutler at the urinal. Mm-hmm. Don't care. Like, I want to care because I love baseball as much as I do, but I just I will say this. There is one thing. Don't care.
Ah, Freddie!
There is one thing that I do, like, it does kind of grind my gears, and it's the idea of the, I'm not going to vote for this guy, even though we all know he's a Hall of Famer, because I want to give my vote to someone else so that that person can stay on the ballot. It just seems to, be antithetical to the idea of you have a vote and you're trying to find the best guys to go into the Hall of Fame. Why would you not vote for King Griffey Jr.? Like, it just, I don't know. It's, but I've done so many mental gymnastics on it that I'm exhausted.
Yeah, well, I understand that.
I don't really care about the Hall of Fame or any Hall of Fame that much, but what I do care about and I like a lot is logic. I enjoy it. And rational thinking about things, at least my own version of rational thinking. And if I had a Hall of Fame ballot, I would apply the same sensibilities to every player. And in talking to Teddy, it was just kind of oddly refreshing and freeing. He's just like, it's my ballot. I'm going to vote for who I want. And I'm like, so will you vote for David Ortiz? He's like, yeah, probably. But you won't vote for Bonds? No.
And he won't vote for Sosa, will he? Or has not?
Oh no.
Because Teddy.
That's not even that's a non-starter.
Teddy
for him.
Hates Sosa.
I'm conflicted on whether a guy, just to me, whether he was a good guy or a good teammate is irrelevant. And I value that, but that's not what the Hall of Fame does. For me, what it does is recognize the best players in the sport's history. And, you know, it's nice when they're likable. But to me, as a voter, I would feel I would have too much guilt to not vote for a guy because he was a turd as a human.
I would weigh the bad teammate thing more in other sports, but baseball is so individual.
Yep.
That to me, it doesn't matter if the guy was a bad teammate, unless that he was such a toxic teammate that you can draw a direct line to him being a toxic teammate and your team losing games. Other than that, the guy's a bag, the guy's a bag, but he was a productive bag.
Yeah, and I would also think
that's how I feel.
Well, the Hall of Fame says, you know, integrity, character, teammate, and all that. So they, it's well within their rights based on the rules to do that. What I would just think is, okay, if that'd be a tiebreaker for me.
Right.
Borderline right. Guy. Okay, bad teammate, bad with the media, whatever, then out. But Barry Bonds?
Right.
Barry Bonds was such a bad teammate that the home run king isn't in? That's
crazy.
And
honestly, like, a borderline guy shouldn't even really have your consideration anyway, right?
Right.
Logically speaking, yeah. Like, he's, if you're not going, oh, totally Hall of Famer, then
yeah.
So I don't know.
Exactly. But it was, I had never heard anyone explain their Hall of Fame ballot reasoning quite like Teddy did today.
Teddy was, my precious.
It wasn't even, I was like, how much time do you spend on it? He's like, a decent amount. It's my ballot. I vote for who I want. I want to feel good about who I vote for. That's my reasoning.
Okay. I mean, that's fair.
You
want to turn in something that you like.
Yeah, exactly.
I have tons of windshield time tonight, both to a commute and returning home in the other way in the other direction. So, but I don't get much of you tonight. Truncated
yeah.
Tonight till 6:45. I heard you barbecuing Paxson last night. While I smiled, I also cringed. He's been in my career the hardest person to bring the big hook to, because I like him, but I don't disagree with anything you said. Did you feel any better after hearing the head coach today?
Well, here's where we're going to go. Herbie and I, Mike Chen and I, we sat down and we listened to Boylan. And my intention was I would find a five-minute chunk to play and then react because of the time allotted for my show tonight. Because, like, okay, I don't have a lot of time, so I can't give him 15 minutes of the 45 that I have. After listening to it, I think that it's only right that I give the majority of the interview because of some of the great follow-up questions that Mully and Haw asked and his responses to those questions. I know from, look, I'm a Jordan era kid. I grew up with that. Herbie is too, but the rest of our producers are not. And so for them, Jordan doesn't really belong to them. I'm curious, because you're younger too. Does Jordan belong to you? Like, is that...
Absolutely.
Because 30, 31?
32.
32.
So I consider, like, you know, 10, 11, 12 to be when you fall in love with sports. And so
you got the second run right in your face up close and
personal.
That's
the second three-peat. And then also, and I've said this before, I also just happen to be unbelievably lucky that my dad's job at the time had four season tickets attached to
it. Okay, so you were actually going, involved in it.
I saw him in person probably 40 times.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then you might be kind of the anomaly here.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
But people that are a little bit younger than you, like Tony last night, like, they don't remember it. Like, Tony was literally 5 years old the last time that the Bulls won a championship. And so for us, watching this and even hearing him talk about the legacy and nostalgia of the Bulls, it's a little bit lost on people who are younger Bulls fans that are like, how much longer? It reminds me a lot of what you guys used to do in the 90s here on The Score when you were talking about the Bears. Like, how much longer can you then push the Super Bowl? Like, how far does it extend before you let go of that? And just look at what on its face it is right now.
Well, that's interesting, because a huge part of it, obviously, why the fan base got so big was the dynasty of the 90s and the logo and the jerseys and Jordan and all of that. But it still is Chicago, and they still lead the NBA in attendance. So
therein lies the rub. Where's the pressure for this to turn?
And I'm not advocating people not go, because I actually think that the Bulls do a great, like, it's a great time.
Oh,
like,
it's so much fun.
If you go to a Bulls game outside of the basketball that the Bulls play, I mean, other teams, and that's what the NBA has been able to bank on in the Bulls for the last 10 years or so. Come watch this. Come watch Kobe. Come watch Russell Westbrook. Come watch Durant. Like, those things are available to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt it necessary, like, we went and we listened to it, and we probably cut off, I think, maybe 3 minutes of the interview so that we can, that it's representative of what he had to say. Like,
cool.
It's important for me that as hard as I went in on them last night, that I give them an opportunity to speak to the fan base almost in full.
If somebody like Tony, and I probably wouldn't be the first guy he'd approach, say, tell me about those 90s Bulls. What might I not know about them? I would say you've seen all the highlights of the offense. You've seen Jordan shrug against Portland. What no one ever talks about is the 94 feet of hell they employed on defense. Yes. Defense, oddly enough, creates offense. And Horace Grant is probably my favorite Bull of all time, because nobody got more out of his ability by working his ass off than Horace did.
Let's be real. Scotty completely changed the series against the Lakers when they took Scotty and put him on Magic.
Yep.
Like, it fundamentally changed the way that series was going to go down. Because you go, oh, okay, let's take our 6'7 dude who's real lanky. He's going to guard the guy who's got the ball in his hands, and let's see what happens next.
I just couldn't believe that Boylan said that he hasn't had any confrontations with players. I couldn't believe it.
There's a lot, Danny, there's so much in there that if we were live fact-checking him, because Zach LaVine has already said a couple things that go against what Boylan said. And I'm trying not to sway the jury. I have my opportunity in my closing argument last night on the whole subject. I do think it's important for people to hear from him, and I'm looking forward to it. But you're right. There's going to be a lot of times in the 12 minutes that he's on, that a Bulls fan in their car is going to call shenanigans and go, that's not true. It's not true. The idea of playing back to the basketball in 2019, number one, you don't have the personnel to even try it. And number two, no one's doing it.
Other than that, it's a great idea.
It's a great idea, though.
It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is lady. Text lady, L-A-D-Y, to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is lady to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply.
Tomorrow on the show, 1:30, Bears president George McCaskey joins us in studio. At 2 o'clock, the creator of CSI, William Peterson, the Chicago actor, producer, will join us. 3 o'clock, just Brent Musburger and Dan Patrick in that hour, and Dave Wannstedt at 4. So our version of Copagon Sports tomorrow between 1 and 6.
Now, that's a great thing for me. I mean, Dan Patrick is a rough template of the show that I do. So, I mean, it's very much an inspiration of the solo show that I do. So anytime that he's on, I like to hear him.
We're going to talk business. We're not going to talk sports.
We're talking business
and what's in here.
Okay.
And what's in here.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Anyway. Another thing about Jim Boylan, just real quick. He called David Dave.
Yes, he did.
No one calls David Dave.
Mike and Dave. I'm thinking, who's Mike? Oh, Mully. Mully.
Yeah, but I've actually heard people call Mully Mike.
Really?
I've heard no one call David Dave. No one.
Lawrence is coming up next. Thanks to Shep and Tanny. He's Mac. I'm Parkins. We're McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
It was great radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.